This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
My guest today is Phil Kohler, who's discussing his review for Middle-Earth: Shadow of Mordor. I'm Justin McElroy, and this is Polygon's Quality Control. I'm joined today by Philip Kohler. Am I saying that right, Phil?
You said it beautifully. Thank you.
Phil, today we are talking about, is it just Shadows of Mordor, or is it The Lord of the Rings, The Shadows of Mordor?
It's actually Middle-Earth, colon, and it's one Shadow of Mordor.
Okay, so there's and one
Alexa,
Shadow.
Alexa Ray Correa, who's our you know, resident Lord of the Rings fanatic, she gets really upset when people say Shadows. There's only one shadow.
This titular shadow.
It's the single shadow of Mordor.
Phil, you said in your review that you were kind of like lukewarm on Tolkien's work.
Yeah.
First off, cool perspective. I think a lot of people would share that view. Those books aren't classics or anything. Who was that hack? Where does he get off?
Yeah, I guess, who likes that stuff?
If I'm coming around to a question, what kind of baggage were you bringing to this review? Not like sure. Your distrust and hatred for the late Mr. Tolkien, probably Sir Tolkien, I bet. But like, what is your prior history with both the Lord of the Rings books and, of course, the Lord of the Rings video games?
Sure. I mean, I've played a lot of Lord of the Rings video games. There have been a lot of Lord of the Rings video games, and if anything, I think the most baggage I had going into this was just kind of that assumption of like, most video games based off of Lord of the Rings have not been great.
Did you play The Hobbit? Did you play The Hobbit on Xbox?
Yeah. My girlfriend at the time was obsessed with that game.
Oh,
so she,
boy.
She played a lot of it.
Spiders with sticks for like 18 hours. It's the worst.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar with the video games. I really like the book of The Hobbit. Could not really get into the Lord of the Rings books. I don't really see what's so. No, I mean, I get it. I respect them, but I couldn't get into them. But I did enjoy the movies, and you know, I think I've hit a point where there was a long time where I just didn't like anything Lord of the Rings, but I hit a point over the last, let's say, 5 years or so, where it's become more of like I respect it, even if I kind of recognize that a lot of the fiction is not for me.
All the Grindelmeers and Grunka Junks, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's confusing.
It's confusing. Wizards, warriors, that's such the devil. Phil, whenever I review a game, I tend to find there's this moment when I'm playing the game and I kind of get like what it's going for. It's that click in your head when you're like, oh, okay, I see what kind of game this is. I see what I'm in for. I see, what this is shaping up to be. Did you have a moment like that with Shadow of Mordor? And do you recall what it was?
Yeah. So in the review, I actually bring up this anecdote, and I think this is actually the moment for me where so part of the deal with Shadow of Mordor, part of what's so cool about it is they've actually emulated orc culture, and the way they do that is. There's all these orc captains who are actually named, and then you can take those captains down and other captains will take their place. You can take down the war chiefs and maybe a captain will step up and say, all right, well, I'm war chief now. And there's this whole like system that allows you to manipulate that society. And it's all dynamically generated. So these aren't named characters who just exist and always go along their set path. They can pop into existence. They can be somebody who's like pulled up from the ranks. So
that,
what
that seems like a weird fit for like a narrative game. That seems like something more you'd see in like an RTS or something like that.
Yeah, and that's that's kind of exactly why Shadow of Mordor pulled me in so much. Is it, you know, it has a narrative, and the narrative's it's not astoundingly good, but it's fine. But it's really this other stuff. It's this side stuff that really this nemesis system, as they call it, that really pulled me in, and they just do an incredible job with. But the specific moment to get to that, there was an orc captain named Norsko of the Welts, because of course, right? That's an orc name.
Yeah, that's very orcish.
So I hunted this captain down. You know, you can interrogate soldiers to learn captains' strengths and weaknesses. So I had interrogated a soldier and found out that this Norsko of the Welts was weak to ranged attacks. And specifically, unlike a lot of captains, he could be killed with a single charged up ranged attack. So I found him.
That seems like something I would not admit to the officers that were rolling have told up him. To me. I
he
don't
should
let
not
anybody,
have told him.
I have not told... You report to me, Phil. I have not told you about my weakness for garlic bread.
I have suspicions, but I don't know about it.
Right.
And maybe that's the case. Maybe this orc just who I interrogated just said, I suspect that if you put an arrow through his head, he will die.
He looks weak-eyed to me. He's got a weak-eyed look.
So I hunted him down, and instead of engaging with him, instead of even getting in close, I just stayed up on this tower. Carefully aimed my shot, one arrow, one shot, one kill, right through the eye. And I was, that was really satisfying in and of itself. Then a couple hours later, I'm in the middle of a different mission entirely, somewhere across the world map. Not even thinking about Norsko of the Welts, who I conquered hours ago. And suddenly an orc shows up and attacks me from behind. And it's Norsko of the Welts. He's back.
No.
And he has a giant metal plate over his eye. And he says, he taunts me for it. He's like, you shot me through the eye. You're not going to be able to get rid of me that quickly this time. And now he has this new trait, which is that he can't be instantly killed.
And he has no depth perception.
And he has no depth perception, which is sad.
Yeah.
It was actually a really sad fight. He just stumbled around a lot.
I'll get you. Is there enough difference in the personality of the orcs where, like, you really get a good sense that they're, like, they feel individual?
Yeah, so, I played for about 20 hours, and I did not hit a point, and I'm sure this point exists. I'm sure it's got to, right? But I didn't hit a point where I felt like personalities were repeating. There were a couple of voices that sounded similar, so I think, maybe they had a limited pool of voiceover to pull from. But I definitely did not hit a point where it was actually repeating, repeating the quirks that they have.
So it felt organic the whole time. Like, did you get a sense playing it that if you were to go back, like, and go through again, it would be a different experience?
That's absolutely the sense I got. And from talking to other people who were reviewing it, it seemed like I would talk to one reviewer who's like, oh, this orc named X who does X.
Whoa,
completely.
Didn't see that coming.
Well,
some Molly in him, and
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But no, like this specific orc did this to me, and it really frustrated me. And now I'm out to get him. And I would just be like, I've never run into an orc named that. I've never run into an orc that has that personality trait. So it seems like they've put the time in to make a pretty broad pool to draw from.
The review talks about how there's no new gear that you pick up as the shadow of the Mordor shadow. Is he the shadow, by the way? Is that right? Is this guy the shadow?
I think he's supposed to be the shadow. The idea is like you're a single person. You're like the only or one of the few non-orc forces in Mordor. But you're stalking around and doing stealth and taking out the orcs one by one.
Anyway, you talked about how no new weapons, and instead you get runes. Is that still satisfying? Like, because any time that I read about any game of any genre, that doesn't let me collect swords, I get a little bummed out. I usually knock about a point off of their
racing games. Regardless of what it is, you want to collect swords.
I want to collect swords. Is runes a suitable replacement? I mean, obviously, let me answer the question. No, it's not. But
yeah,
does it help?
Yeah, it certainly helps. It's, you know, it's not the same as if you were getting loot. So the way it kind of works is there's two upgrade systems. There's a you can level up and you can spend skill points along with these other points that you get for completing quests that that, you know, get you new abilities. And those are those come a lot slower. Those are usually going to be big. Those are usually going to be like a whole new ability or something that really changes the way you use an ability you currently have. And then on top of that, you have runes, which is you have 5 rune slots for each weapon. So for your dagger, your sword, and your bow, those tend to be much smaller changes. Like they're more like stuff that rewards when you're playing well, and stuff that allows you to survive longer. They're more like percentage, like stat boosts. Or for example, I really focused heavily on healing runes. So it would be like, if you get your combo counter up to 30, you heal 19% of your health back.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff is more what the runes are. It's not, you know, it's not exactly the same thing as loot. A loot system would have been nice, but it definitely provides the sense that, you know, my Talion, which is the name of the main character, my Talion is probably different than what your Talion was going to be.
Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. And we can celebrate those differences. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm not ashamed. Well, I'm a little ashamed.
Speaking of shame, you talk in your review about this idea that at a certain point you become able to take control of orcs. You basically enslave the orcs to do your bidding.
Yeah.
The quote is, "To its credit, the game moves away from the language of enslavement and refers to your power as ruling over the orcs with fear. The end result is the same, though, and it left me feeling a little uncomfortable." Phil, my question to you is this. You're uncomfortable with making orcs into slaves. Are you just, like, the biggest wiener ever?
Yeah.
Or do you think there are other bigger wieners?
I'm probably one of the biggest wieners, I would say. Here's what I will say in my defense. So there are a lot of people, not a lot of people, but a handful of people who had a problem with that section, even though, you know, it didn't necessarily overall affect my opinion of the game too much. I still had a really good time with it. But I think if you look into, you know, if you dig into criticism on Tolkien and on Lord of the Rings, there's actually a lot of really interesting and really problematic race stuff going on in the series. And it's not just that, like, you know, obviously orcs are a fantasy race and they're pure evil and all of that, but there's a lot of stuff about the orcs that are, you know, from a European author where he's pulling on traits from other people, pulling on traits from people in the real world, and from other cultures in the real world. So it becomes a little bit more problematic when you think about those influences.
The trick is to not.
Sure, you can do that, and it's totally a valid way to do it. And you know, I think a lot of people won't. And I think that's fine. The other thing is, I do think the game is actually supposed to. I think to some degree, it wants you to be a little bit uncomfortable about that. Like, it's playing with this idea of, you know, like so you're Talion, but you're also you are possessed by this elf ghost, and it's true. It's true. And at one point, I'm not going to stop. The elf ghost says at one point, you know, he says, you know, well, we're fighting against Sauron. We have to be careful that we don't become, you know, as evil as he is, that we don't become his servants accidentally. The idea is, like, when you're enslaving these orcs, you're using the same power that Sauron uses. You're using a lot of the same tactics that he uses. So I think you're supposed to question it to some degree, but the game doesn't end up doing very much with that.
Is there any... I thought it was interesting. You talked in your review about how you thought that this game kind of provided a roadmap for where like a next generation action games could start to expand. I thought it was interesting because this doesn't seem to play with multiplayer in any way, in the sense of like players' worlds overlapping with other players. Sure. And I think it's really interesting because it leaving that stuff up to game logic seems like kind of a divergence from where we've started to see games push, where, you know, like I think Dark Souls is like a good example of other players providing these emergent narratives. Do you really think that the future is here with letting the game create that, or is it somewhere in between?
I think it's definitely somewhere in between. I think there's definitely room for multiplayer to have an influence in that. So there is a very minor multiplayer element, which I didn't mention in my review. And the way that works is you will see stuff populate on your map that are revenge quests. And those are quests where it will say essentially like, hey, this orc killed this person on your friends list. Now kill this orc to get revenge for your friend.
Nice.
And I think that's an interesting, like, there's room for them to build off of that and do even more in that direction. So it's not direct multiplayer necessarily. It's maybe not you going into your friend's world, but like sharing some of the orcs, or having them share, like, maybe they have a memory of what your friend did to them instead of what you did to them, and they mention that specifically. Like, there's room for them to build that in the future, you know, if they do another Shadow of Mordor game. And I think in general, like, just talking about the future of action games, like we were, I think in general, anything that's dynamic like this, anything that creates its own stories as you're playing, is going to be huge. And obviously, I think the reason multiplayer has ruled that is that it's just a lot easier to do in multiplayer games.
Right.
It's a lot easier to do when it's not a linear experience that has an end goal. But Shadow of Mordor finds a really good middle ground, and I think that provides a stepping stone. It provides a spot where people can say, all right, well, this game did it. How can we build off of that and do it better?
You mentioned not getting to the multiplayer stuff in your review. Is there anything else you didn't have space for or got left on the editing floor you want to talk about?
Sure. I mean, you know, one of the things that I always have trouble fitting into reviews, because it never feels like it fits naturally, and I don't like the idea of, like, breaking it out into its own section. But one of those things is sweet graphics. Music is what I was going to say. The music in this game, you know, obviously heavily inspired by the music of the Lord of the Rings films, and it is really good. It's awesome, and it really sets the tone perfectly. And they do some cool stuff with it. Like, when you're hunting a war chief, you know, when the war chief first approaches you, and when you're actually attacking the war chief, you'll actually hear, like, orcs chanting the war chief's name in the background.
That's sweet.
To, like, the beat of this music. It's really cool.
Phil, one last question before I let you go.
Yeah.
Has this game got Bombadil in it? Is Tom Bombadil up in this piece?
You and Griffin, you're really, you and Griffin are both on that
Bombadil. Is he curious
Bombadil.
About that Bombadil?
Is this like a McElroy thing?
Just like Sam Bombadil, I guess.
Yeah, Griffin, we did the overview today, and Griffin asked me about Bombadil also.
Shit.
I don't want to ruin things for you, but no Bombadil in this game.
You didn't want to ruin things except for the entire game, which you have just ruined.
Gollum's in it. There's a Gollum.
Phil Kohler, thank you so much for joining me here on Quality Control, and thank you so much for listening. This is our first episode, so I don't know if there's an iTunes feed or an email address. I'm certain
we'll
address
that
in coming editions.
Can I just say here, first episode, and also, you know, probably the last one, because where you go from here, like, who are you going to have on after Phil Kohler? Like,
I had one shot, one kill Phil on the program.
I mean, well, like, what do you like, what, you're going to have an Arthur Geese on? You're going to have a Ben Kuchera? You think people are going to tune in for that?
No, I want to keep it Phil-centric. This has been Polygon's Quality Control. I'm Justin McElroy for Phil Kohler. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you again soon.